But you're God's saints, and here I am trying to talk to a bunch of saints. And it ends up by saying that never say or do anything except in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I think that's so powerful. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. A few weeks ago, it was in December, that I was looking at the quarterly there for a couple of different days, and it just seemed to touch my heart. And the Lord spoke to me and really through His Holy Spirit and said, this needs to be brought as a message to the church. And that's why I call this, To Thee We Vow. Because it had to do with vows and about promises and about oaths. And I think that it's so important that we don't overlook this. And it's in the scriptures, these three words are over 220 times. So there has to be some value there. And I think that we should always consider what we say about when we address the Lord, when we address one another. You know, I was given this message to give to you, and last week it had to do with a promise. I gave a promise to my brother Raoul that I would call for the offering and do the benediction. Somehow I got sidetracked. I had a commitment. And the Lord said to me, after this was over, He said, this is what I've given you to talk about, and here you're guilty of the very thing that I want you to stress. And I apologized to Raoul, to Basil, because he asked me to do this. I was looking at Raoul, and I was thinking of Basil. But I apologize to Raoul, and I apologize to you, because it made a hole at the end of the service, because it was a pause that didn't need to be there. And I also let down Leo, the speaker, because then he had to fill in while I was busy doing what I thought I ought to be doing when I should have been here. And I think sometimes we make statements and we don't think of them as a vow or a promise. I think about in the past how the world has changed so much. It used to be that a man's word was his bond. And if he told you something, it was what was going to happen. I can remember when I was buying grain, started over in Colusa County to buy grain for a large company that I was working for. And, Colusa County at one time was the only county in California that showed a negative increase in population, because even their kids didn't want to stay there. It was the only county in California that succeeded with the South during the Civil War. And so it was, these people were very set in their ways. And of course, this big company wanted everything on written contracts. And you almost insulted some of these farmers when you asked them to, will you sell me your grain? Yes, I will. Will you sign this contract that you sold it to me? Don't you trust me? And this was the way years ago that the world operated. But it's not that way anymore. That's why we have hundreds of thousands of lawyers, because nobody wants to take anybody's word for anything. But we have a word that we can share, that we can promise where it's going to be upheld. And that's the message of Jesus Christ. And it just appears that sometimes that we ourselves get into a place where we have made a commitment. We've made a commitment as we take a job as a servant in the church to have a certain ministry. We promise that we're going to do that. You're called before you accept it, and you say, yes, I'll do that. And then, if you don't want to, or you think you got a better offer, you don't show up. And that's sad, because you've made a vow. You've made a vow to the Lord. And the Lord has very definite opinions about people that break their promises and break their word. And this is why all week after I missed this benediction, the Lord, I woke up, he'd bring that to my mind. You broke your vow. You broke your promise. And so that's why I just felt so strongly about bringing this message to you. Numbers 30, number 2 says, if a man vows a vow or swears an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Now, nowhere in the Bible does God say that you have to take a vow. Nowhere does he say that you're committed to make a vow or make a promise. But once you do that, he expects you to uphold it. Now, you know, sometimes we have a reason to be not be able to be at a place that we were supposed to be at, and things do happen. But if you have a vow, you find someone that will make a vow to you to cover that what needs to be done. You know, a vow to a brother and sister in Christ is like making a vow to God, because God believes that his people should work together and be in one accord. And that's how we can be in one accord, is by honoring and meaning what we say to one another. And so whenever we do that, And in the scriptures, it talks about, and many times it'll use the word pay when you're fulfilling a vow. But it doesn't always, it doesn't mean property, or it doesn't mean money necessarily always. It also means your service. When you make a vow, you commit to a service. Now, people that are committed to be in service, because the Lord, when he asks us to be a deacon or an elder or teach a Sabbath school class or even bring flowers, the choristers that sing, they've made a vow that they will do that at their time in their service. And so he expects it to be done. And so we should never assume that somebody else will do it. And so I think that it's very important that we honor our vows. You know, if you think about it, you'll see out throughout Scripture where people didn't honor their vows that it led to real problems. You'll find that even when the Israelis left Egypt, the number of times that they broke their vows to God. And you notice that, and when they refused to cross the Jordan to claim the land that God had given to them, they were told that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And to that generation, anybody over 20 years old was gone. And yet, when that 40 years was over, they were to then go ahead and claim their land, claim their promises. And two of the largest tribes talked about, well, we're comfortable. We don't see any use to cross. We've got this land, we've got our cattle, our sheep, and everything established. So we just think we'd like to stay. And they went and talked to Moses. And so Moses reminded them that they had to, that they are expected to help claim that land because their troops, you know, were the biggest numbers. And remember, these people outside of Moses and Caleb and Joshua, there wasn't anybody in there, or as I figure it, 59 years old. So they were youngsters. That's the way I would look at a youngster from my point of view. And yet when Moses reminded them of their duty, even though they were comfortable where they were, they did assist the brothers in going across the Jordan. And now, as we look at things that are going on in our world today, and we think about what we see that appears to be very scriptural and very signs of the end times. And of course, the scriptures tell us that no one will know, but he did say that will be signs, you know, earthquakes and wars and the things that are, appear to be happening. So we need to continue with what we have vowed to do. You know, when you come out of the water of baptism and are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've made a vow to follow him. So I hope most of you have had that experience, because that's a vow that we daily have got to continue to honor. Secondly, when you join the church, you vowed. Now the church, you know, is the people. So when you make a vow to the church, you make it to all of your brothers and sisters in Christ, that you'll work together with them in one accord. And you know, in a way, we now, because of the way that the world is appearing, have a Jordan to cross. Because the Lord tells us to carry the word through every tongue throughout the world. When we go out that front door, we're going into the world. Oroville is part of this world. There's a lot of people in here that in Oroville that don't really speak English language. There's the Hmong population. There's a lot of Hispanic people that don't. Are we reaching out to these people? Are we willing to cross the Jordan? Are we willing to fulfill our vows and spread the word? Now, we've got some young people out here now that are making a crack at that. But are every one of us willing to do that? That's what it takes, is a joint effort, combined support of one another in each of our ministries. Because we all have gifts. And if you don't use the gifts that God has given you, it's like a muscle you don't exercise. It doesn't grow. It doesn't get stronger. So you want to think about these things and think about our world and think about the children that have never heard about Jesus. You see this more every day. I thought this story that Joyce shared about her gardening angel. You know, we think that we go out in fear. You know, I worked in sales for a long time. And in fact, I was trained salespeople. But whenever I'd go into a new territory, I always had to just really concentrate on what I was trying to do. I had to work up the nerve to go see this big possible customer. And you are going to be faced with the same thing when you're going to try to go out and obey your vow to the Lord and get up the nerve maybe to talk to somebody that you really don't want to talk to. But everybody deserves to hear the Word of God. Everybody needs that opportunity. That's what the Lord expects of us. That's the vow He's left us all with. And so we all have vows to cover. And so I just want to emphasize the very thing that the Lord has laid upon my heart, the very thing that the Lord has talked to me about all week when I let Basil down because I had promised him I would do the benediction. You may think that's a little thing, but to me, it's been a hurt in my heart. And it doesn't always take a big thing. The Lord can use you in a lot of little things, and He'll discipline you in a lot of little things. So, I'm going to read you from Ecclesiastes 5:2, starting with verse 2 and going through verse 6. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not their heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is that thou shouldst not vow than thou should vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. See, I've had to say it was an error, but I did it before my angel, I guess, but I just felt I had to. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thy hands? So you see, it's a very serious thing that we are talking about here. Matthew 5:33 says, again ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forwear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord your oath. Forewarn is kind of like perjury. And I'm at my close here, and I'm going to share from Galatians 1:3, starting with 1:3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glorified forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, we come to You through Your Son Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask that Your hand be with us and to guide us and to show us the way that You would have us to go. We look around us in this world, Lord, and we see the deficit in the power of your word being preached, and those that have never been reached, Lord. And Lord, we look forward to your coming, but let us glorify your kingdom by being good ministers to you, and to honor our vows that we have made, though sometimes simple you may seem they are, we know that you feel they are very important. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.